Yes.
Maybe there's someone who does like more like cataphagic, I hope I say it right, in like non-violent communication, they talk a lot about that. It's easy, like when you talk to people and you tell them, it's better you say what exactly what you want them to do than what you don't want them to do. So I kind of wonder, why is it like this?
Well, the Buddha was keen to communicate in as clear a way as possible. It's kind of interesting also how with the precepts we have. I undertake the precept to refrain from killing, to refrain from stealing. And so people have tried to criticize that. Well, this is a very negative approach. Why don't we talk about being generous or having loving kindness? And so I know in Thich Nhat Hanh's community, they done a sort of rephrasing of the precepts with these positive aspects being expressed. So I wouldn't say it's the whole picture, but I was at a conference in San Francisco a number of years ago, and this professor from University of California in Davis called Clifford Sarin gave a very interesting talk. He pointed out that in terms of actual brain physiology, the part of the brain that does affirmation, follows affirmations, is physically a different part of the brain than that which does negations. And in order to help behavior to be changed, behavior is more effectively changed through negation than through affirmation. Nowadays, they've got the kind of gadgetry that can actually sort of measure how that works. So it seems that by saying we should love all beings and have loving kindness for all beings, that isn't as effective in changing our behavior as in don't kill things. And it seems that the Buddha understood the neurophysiology. It was very interesting because it wasn't as though Clifford Sarin was a Buddhist or had an axe to grind in that respect. But it's saying this is how the brain works. If we want to help the behaviors to change, then expressing things in that way, like you know, to refrain from this or don't do that, or to speak in those negations, it has a more effective impact than affirmations. You're welcome to contemplate that and come to your own conclusions, as the expression on your face would indicate. But I feel that was one of the things that the Buddha used a lot of this via negativa, apophatic language, and he was in his own lifetime criticized as being a nihilist, bunahuno is a Pali word, a wrecker of being or destroyer of being. So he was taken to be a nihilist or having a kind of negative approach to life, and he knew he was being misunderstood by in certain ways, but he stuck to using that kind of language much of the time. And he made it very clear, those who say I speak of the destruction of an existent being, they are misrepresenting what I say, they do not say what I'm saying. That's not what I teach. So it was heard in that way as seeming more destructive or nihilistic or pessimistic. But he was an absolute accomplished genius at communication. So in order to get the message across and to help people to end suffering more completely, that was the method of expression that he chose to use. And, you know, over the pages of this book, we'll come across that quite a lot. I think it is useful to consider, it's actually a deliberate approach. It's a deliberate method. Again, as Lumpur Sumedho would often point out, that the teachings on anicca, dukkha, anatta, they're not things to believe in. They're tools to apply to our habits of thinking. Similarly, that the Four Noble Truths, they're noble truths, they're not absolute truths. So we're not saying, you know, life is totally miserable in every dimension. You know, saying sabbe sankhara dukkha, but more that we experience the feelings of dukkha from time to time. That feeling of dukkha arises. Now, where does that come from? So it's tools to use to explore our own habits of attitude and thinking rather than a kind of judgment or a philosophical position to take, if that makes sense.